Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on tonight's episode, if someone could foretell your future, would you want to know it? An old school house has held many businesses. This is literally an old schoolhouse, right?
Old schoolhouse.
I'm so used to saying like old school.
No, not old school.
That's so house. Old school. No. An old schoolhouse has held many businesses. That's the right inflection there, right?
I think so.
Okay. But there is one thing that always remains. Also, a haunting seems to be bound just to one specific apartment within the building. Nightmares plague a woman who recently moved into an apartment, but her sister confides that it is more than just a nightmare. Those stories, your calls, and more tonight on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you this fine evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm suffering from an allergy attack.
I know.
Like right before the show.
I was wondering how long we were going to have to wait before we could start.
I was just, you know, sitting there trying to breathe. For a little while, and I like felt, okay, I'm at like about 50% lung capacity. We can go.
Okay.
So we're ready to do the show. So if I pass out over here, just take over. Keep going with the show. Check on me when it's done.
Okay.
Okay?
I can do that.
Okay. I'm glad we're clear on how that all works.
Okay.
The phone number, of course, is 855-853-4802 to call into Real Ghost Stories Online and share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write in on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your ghost story to us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Some exciting stories, it looks like, this evening. I'm excited to hear some of these calls and some follow-ups and some things that we've talked about the past couple of weeks, some fun stuff here. So let's kick off the show this evening with one of the letters. Let's go over to Gina. And Gina writes in, "Hello, Tony and Jenny. I've been listening to your podcast for a few months now. When Jenny gives her thoughts or explanations on the story, OMG, I think that's what I was just thinking too."
Mm-hmm.
You think that's how the inflection was on it?
Probably pretty close.
OMG. Do you ever use that term? Have you ever like used it in typing to anyone? I don't really use a whole lot of the I don't know, abbreviations, is that?
Yeah, acronyms. I use them. I only use it in typing. I'm not one of those people that walks around and talks in acronyms, though.
Jenny was very excited earlier this evening because she discovered that her phone could do all the emotions on the iPhone. Because you finally updated your phone.
Finally did.
And it has like 500,000 little icons for like anything and everything.
Not quite that many, but enough to send what I want to say via pictures.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I kind of send you hieroglyphics throughout the day now.
You do.
It's like, what does he mean by this? You can take things so many different ways. It's great fun. Anyhow, continuing on, thank you both and all the listeners submitting their stories. Well, my story is about my grandmother. She comes from a remote village in the Philippines. In this village, she was known as a medicine woman or a good witch. She used herbs and oils to help heal people, read palms, and deliver babies. In exchange for her services, they would give her sometimes money, but food like a live chicken. or bag of rice. My mother brought her to California in the late 1970s to live with us, then later brought my grandfather, uncles, and aunt. Growing up with my grandmother, she taught me things that were a bit different than the other grandmothers. Like coconut oil had many uses and remedies for treating common ailments using herbs and oils. My grandmother was very superstitious, like never put your shoes on the table where you eat. And more that I can't remember right now. Is that a superstition or is that just more like sanitary?
It's both, but it's a superstition. I subscribe to that one.
I subscribe to it from a sanitary standpoint of don't put your shoes on the kitchen table.
See, I don't put shoes on any table.
Ever? Mm-mm. No, it's just it's sanitary. Like I don't know what. what I don't get what the superstition even is.
Even new shoes that you've just bought and haven't worn yet.
Oh, that's not even allowed either?
I don't even put those on a table.
What's a superstition? Like, what's the...
I don't know. I just know it's bad luck, so I don't do it.
Oh, it's bad luck?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had no idea.
It's kind of like walking under ladders.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't do that either.
Didn't know that. No shoes on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Duly noted.
Good.
She also have to worry about it with me because I've never really done it. Anyhow, she reads palms and would read everyone's palms from time to time. When she read mine, I was 12 or 13 years old. She told me I would marry a dark Japanese man that would have a problem. She described the problem like someone who drank too much alcohol. Then she said, I have a hard time holding money. She also told me how many children I would have and only two would be alive. She also... red moles. I had three moles on my cheek. She said that three boys who were friends would kiss me. Well, the mole story came true first within 2 years. A teen, I dated a few boys. Then I dated three boys in a span of a year that were at different times. And yes, they kissed me and they were all friends with each other. My husband of 30 years happens to be Japanese, African American, and Cherokee Indian. That would be my dark Japanese husband. I always wondered how he knew about him, or how she knew about him being Japanese by reading my palm. He didn't have a drug problem early in life, and yes, I have two children. She stopped reading palms into my adulthood. Thank goodness she read my kids' palms and told me how many grandchildren I would have. I'm still waiting for that to come true. When she had read one of my friend's palms and told her that she has a demon following her, and that's when she did not want to read palms anymore. I noticed that she would hold information at times as well as she would read palms. By the time she stopped reading palms, I was moved out raising my own family and my husband, and with my husband. My grandfather died, and the later years she spent visiting family across the USA. She'd stay with them for a few months and visit the next family. I always thought she'd eventually visit me too. Then I get a call from Washington that Grandma can't walk. My cousin believes she had a stroke. So we gather family to make that trip to get her back to California. We found out that she had cancer and it spread to her brain, lungs, bones, and colon. I upset her up with an oncologist that I work with. Found out there was really nothing that could be done, just care. Which is just to relieve the symptoms and make her comfortable. She was in and out of the hospital. She usually came to the floor where I worked, which was the cancer unit. She said my coworkers treated her like a queen. She kept telling me, "You are the one," all the time. And when she did, she would smile and tell me she loves me. She died on my floor during one of her admissions. I was working that day. She died peacefully in her sleep. But a week or two later, after I returned to work, I was on the elevator. I was alone in the elevator and suddenly I smelled coconut oil. My grandmother always smelled of coconut oil. She used it for her hair and skin. I just said, "I love you, Grandma." The day at work, I had a patient in the same room my grandmother died in. We had used a vital sign machine on wheels, and I was about to do my patient's vitals. And before I stepped to grab the machine rolled across the room to me. I was touched. I knew my grandmother was there. I thanked her softly, trying not to let my patient hear me. It's been 5 years now after her death, and sometimes I would smell the scent of coconut oil, but not as frequent as before. I still don't know why she kept saying, "You are the one." I kept asking, "What do you mean?" And every time she would smile and say, "I love you," in her Filipino accent.
Is it any comfort to know that she's still with you and following you? Or is it something that is more bothersome? I don't know that I would be comfortable with that.
Having a dead grandmother consistently following you around?
Even if she's helpful. I don't know. That's just unsettling to me.
Well, there's helpful, if she's doing like and exuding valuable information to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's helpful and I'm going to roll this across the floor. Yeah, rolling across the floor, you don't necessarily need a ghost to do that.
Yeah.
But if she's able to provide continual information like she was doing with the readings,
mm-hmm.
then there's some value there.
But she can't do a reading in death.
Write it on the mirror.
I think she just...
Like in the movies.
...moved the machine just as kind of a validation that she's there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's all she could do at the time.
Sure.
I don't know. I would not want to know about kids. How many.
No.
If they're going to live, if they're not going to live. I wouldn't want to know any of that.
What would be the most disturbing part of that whole thing is the fact that a good deal of what she said came true.
Mm-hmm.
There were little bits and pieces that did not so far.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're just constantly sitting there wondering. And it almost becomes, I mean, a psychologist could argue it'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy at some point.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, you're going to make this happen because you expect it to happen, mm-hmm. essentially. That would be very difficult to deal with. And it's information that you can't unhear. You just have to deal with it. I think if anyone like starts telling me these things, just like walk away. I'm done. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know. I'm good.
Right.
Like just let things happen as they will.
I don't know that I'd want to know. I don't want to know how long I'm going to live or any of that.
Remember one time in high school, what the heck was it? I think it was a giveaway that we had on the radio station, and it was like a psychic hotline.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. I mean, this is like a very rare occurrence in radio because that's something that normally does not happen on radio. But we had like all these gift certificates for like a free hour-long psychic reading that like was normally, I don't know, like $100 or something.
Sure.
So being the radio people that we were, of course, you give a lot of them away, but you keep a couple for yourself.
Okay.
And I remember calling it on the weekends using the certificates. And just to see what would happen on the psychic phone line.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I mean, keep in mind, you're in high school. You're always kind of seeking out meaning and reasoning for anything and everything. And it did seem fairly relevant to me at the time.
Okay.
Now, I can't say that it was really a good psychic or anything. I don't know. But it did seem somewhat spooky.
Yeah.
If you will. But of course, I was looking for meaning in everything and anything that was possibly happening around me because you're 18 and suddenly you're experiencing the world for the first time. And wow, everything's just so amazing.
And see, I wouldn't think it'd be that hard to do a reading or even a fake reading on an 18-year-old.
Oh.
Most 18-year-olds are kind of at the same point in life.
You can bullshit an 18-year-old all day if you know how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can bullshit anyone. If you know how to do it, it's not hard. I did that bit on the radio,
mm-hmm.
of Chet Jameson, the bowling psychic, as a joke. Now, I believe there are real psychics out there.
Sure.
I also believe there's a shitload of people just taking advantage of people as well and not doing anything other than feeding them bullshit that they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. There's two totally different things. And I would venture to say that most phone psychics are probably in the bullshit category. Yeah, there's probably some that are legit. There's some. But I would, you know, it's an industry that's ripe with, you know, just taking advantage of individuals.
Okay.
Wouldn't you agree?
I don't know. I think once a psychic maybe has been established as legit and starts to have a following.
Sure. That's,
like,
yeah.
I could see them starting to do a phone-in type, almost like podcast or radio show.
Sure. And that's one thing. But like the average 800 number, go talk to the random person that's
okay,
you know, call center psychic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a call center psychic, and it's like, oh, good luck, you know. Not to say that maybe one or two in the call center may have real abilities. Sure, but your odds of getting them, probably not so great.
That's just such a touchy subject because you're right. The self-fulfilling prophecy part of that,
yeah.
You know, that's one of those things you may or may not be able to control.
Yeah, it comes down to psychology at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the disturbing part of the whole thing. Very, very interesting story. Thank you for sharing it with us. Our phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story at Real Ghost Stories Online. Candace writes in, in one of your recent episodes, you told the write-in story of a man that claims he sees his old black-clad woman in the cemetery where he works. Hearing that story prompted me to share something from my own personal experience. I'll try not to make it too lengthy, but here it goes. I'm in a rock band in Central Virginia, and we practice in an old schoolhouse building that was built in the early 1930s or so. Well, that's pretty cool.
That is cool, isn't it?
That would be really neat. Continuing on. Where am I at here? Okay, my 1930s or so. My band has turned the cafeteria of the schoolhouse into a music venue for our band and other bands in the area to have their music heard, and it's actually seen a great deal of success. Ask anyone that's into rock and or metal in the Lynchburg, Virginia area about Schoolhouse, and they'll know what you're talking about. This is more than a shameless plug, I promise. The building has been used for a great deal of things in the last 15-ish years besides the music venue. Around 2000, the church I go to started using the building as a Christian school, which I attended, as well as using the cafeteria area for midweek evening church services, which I also attended. I mention all this to you to tell you that people associated with this building, in each of these different ways, the music, the church, and the school, have experienced something strange, and most of them don't even know each other, which makes their experiences all the more strange. As some of them are exactly the same. On Wednesday night during a church service, one church member claims that during what's known as the invitation in the church service, which is just where people come to the altar in front and pray, nothing crazy, that she saw an old woman in a black dress, looking like something from 100 years ago or so, come up and stand over one of the people in the church that had gone down to the altar to pray during the invitation, and just stood over the person praying. The lady that saw this says that no one else seemed to notice the old woman, and that the old woman wasn't someone that had showed up to the service, but was clearly not human. Sometime later, during the daytime, the school's lunch lady claims she was walking down the back hallway, and ahead of her, this old woman in black was walking the same way. She was down the hallway. The lunch lady didn't know who she was and called out to her. I'm not sure what she said to her, maybe something like, "Can I help you?" Because she didn't know who she was and probably thought she was a parent or grandparent of one of the students. That the old woman in black did turn back to look at her, but then just turned back around and kept walking without saying anything in reply. And I personally believe that the dead linger after death, as I believe that you go to heaven or hell when you die. And the location depends on whether or not you name Jesus as Lord. That's not to say that I dislike or disrespect others who believe differently, and that's not to say that I think that people who have claimed to see a deceased or see something supernatural like a ghost or the unexplainable intelligent entity are making it up or are crazy. I believe that they have really seen something, but that they're seeing what they're seeing is either an angel or a demon. And determining which it is a completely different topic altogether. I say that because I don't believe that what these ladies in the church and school and the man in the previous story that works in the cemetery saw wasn't the lingering soul of a deceased human, but was instead a malevolent, very likely demonic entity that for whatever reason had come to serve as a disruption. As long as Schoolhouse has been operating as a music venue, however, I haven't heard of the old black-clad woman showing up, but I hear of all kinds of other things. Granted, the building is super old and in need of repair, which automatically puts some people on edge and brings them into the mindset that they're in a paranormal location of sorts. But when musicians practicing at night have heard knockings on the walls, had doors slammed behind them for no reason, felt like they were being followed down the hallway only to turn and see nothing behind them, along with plenty of other experiences, I myself, even after 10 plus years of being in and around the building, I'm still terrified to be found anywhere in that place by myself. Because I'm certain that I'm not truly by myself. I'm not the only person that feels this way either. Thanks for your time. Love the show. God bless.
I would love to know who the woman in black is, but I know we'll never know. But it makes you wonder if maybe she was a teacher there at one time.
Sure. Do you subscribe at all to the idea there that it was an angel or a demon? Or do you think it was more a person?
I don't know. I think it was more a person. Now, I think in the first story that she referenced about the cemetery groundskeeper mm-hmm. that saw the woman in black, I think that was a totally different type of entity. I think that was something much more dark and malevolent.
Mm-hmm.
This woman that they see in the schoolhouse, I don't know. She doesn't seem to be as ominous because she'll go up to an altar and stand over somebody who's praying. And you would think something demonic wouldn't be even in that room.
Sure. It's almost like it was assisting or trying to add energy to it, if you will.
Yeah. And then just walking down the hall, turning to look when somebody spoke to her, and then continuing on. You know, she doesn't do a whole lot, unless there's parts of the story that we don't know, which I'm sure there are, but it seems like more of a human-type ghost.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think that there are, I have to disagree with the writer, that there's a lot of human-type ghosts out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just angels and demons. I don't think it's as simplistic as that. Sometimes I wish it was, to try and determine what's going on in some cases. But just with all the stories that we've had over the years, it's just much more complex.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what it appears to be anyway.
Sure.
So thank you for the letter. We greatly appreciate that. The phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Val writes in. Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Val from Staten Island. Just wanted to say first that I absolutely love your show. I'm a special effects artist for the haunted attractions industry, and there's nothing like a good ghost story to get you in the mood for building zombies. I play your show daily to get through the long hours, and I'm a proud subscriber and EPP member. Before I found Real Ghost Stories Online, I was always a little skeptical of ghosts, but after hearing the sheer amount of stories and personal experiences, I am a believer. It's made me reflect back on my own past experiences, and I realize I do have two occurrences that I cannot explain. The first experience occurred when I was about 15. I'd gone to bed early because I had school the next day. After turning off the lights, I got comfortable and started to relax. I was drifting somewhere halfway between being awake and asleep when I slowly became aware of a face within my television. It was a white face with black sockets for eyes and a gaping black mouth, and it was sunken back into the TV, surrounded by a swirling black and white spiral that emanated outwards. My immediate thought was I might have left the TV on because it was so bright, but I realized that I didn't watch anything that night, and what was even stranger was that the spirals were literally coming out of the TV. The face was letting off a sound that I can only describe as half moaning. Half vacuum sound, like it was trying to suck me in. I was completely paralyzed with fear. A moment passed and I was able to shake myself out of it, and the face immediately disappeared. In the past, I had always attributed this to being a nightmare, and my escape was the result of waking up. Only thing is, my point of view was exactly the same. I was lying in the exact same position with my eyes staring directly at the television. The second experience happened a few years later. This time I was fully awake and lying in bed with the lights on, watching a program around 9:30 p.m. I looked over to my doorway when I saw a glowing, neon blue apparition of myself walk in and head towards the computer. It was not aware of me and did not make eye contact, and I was definitely sure it was me because I have distinctively long hair. It only lasted about 3 seconds and disappeared. I did not feel any sort of fear, just curiosity and momentarily dumbfounded. This one I absolutely cannot explain. Could I have seen my own residual energy? Could it have been a soft spot between parallel dimensions? The only other information I can give is that it was probably not carbon monoxide poisoning, as we have many detectors throughout the house. My parents built the house in the mid-80s, and the property was originally used as what I think was a summer house for nuns so they could go swimming in the ocean. There were still stone grottos everywhere when the neighborhood was beginning to be developed. That's about all I know. I haven't really looked too deeply into it, but I'm definitely curious. Anyway, those are my stories, and I'd like to know what you guys think. Thank you again for your wonderful show and for reading my story, Val.
Okay, I don't know if it'd be possible for somebody to witness an astral projection of themselves.
It's a new one.
Yeah, is it that, or is it something trying to portray itself as her?
That's what I would wonder.
Okay.
I'd also wonder, you know, I mean, you have a few fleeting moments to take in what you're seeing there. My immediate reaction, just because of doing the show and having an idea of what to look for, if I found myself in that situation, would be, okay, it looks like me, but what's not right about me? To try and identify if it is something demonic or if it's something astral projection wise, which I guess theoretically could happen.
I don't know.
It would be a first, I think, for most of our stories.
Yeah. See, I thought you had to be in a deep sleep for that to happen, not an in-between state.
I know we've heard stories of folks who've had, they were doing something, and then someone else in a totally different area had seen them. And they're like, no, I was over here. I was doing this. They were not in a deep sleep state.
Yeah. That's more of a doppelganger, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, doppelganger. But, I mean, it almost kind of falls into the same. Doppelganger, you almost wonder if it's an individual, something completely different, not necessarily an astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it could be either or, really.
And see, that's hard to know because nobody interacted with her, with the spirit.
Yeah.
And I think that would be easier to pinpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's a very unique story.
It is.
It's one of those where it adds another wing, you know, often if we have the family tree of ghosts, of like ghost is at the top, and then it kind of breaks off into all the different potential branches of what this is and that is. And what someone defines as a shadow person or a doppelganger or this or that, that adds another branch.
Yeah, it does.
Congratulations.
Well, it's one story that we'll keep in mind to see if we hear any others like it.
Yeah, definitely. You're like, oh, we had one like that once. So yeah, thank you for writing it and sharing that with us. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Let's go over to Lauren. Hi, you are on the air here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Lauren, and I've been binge listening to your show for about the past couple weeks while I'm at work now, and I figured I should call in and let you know my first one. I have been experiencing things ever since I was little, but this one that happened was at a house that we moved into when I was about 9 years old and my little brother was 7. We moved into this house, and things started happening the first night. I remember laying in the bedroom downstairs, and the floor creaked whenever you walked on it. And I remember telling my mom that I could hear someone walking around the room. And my mom told me it was raining outside. It was just a creaky old house. It was a house settling. And I said, no, I can hear someone. She told me that it was just my imagination. I should go to sleep. It was a new house. This was the first night we were there. Things kept happening as, you know, things would happen, and you know, you hear stuff. I would hear someone walking up and down the stairs because my brother and I slept upstairs. But the validation came a few weeks after living there. My brother and I slept in the bedroom upstairs. Upstairs, there was 2 bedrooms, but you had to walk through the first bedroom to get to the second bedroom. They were separated by a wall with a door. The door didn't have a door handle. It was just a door frame with a door. There's a hole where the handle would be. There was no way this door could stick in this door frame. my brother and I, he was younger than I am, we were fighting as siblings will do. We were moving stuff around, cleaning our rooms, I'm not really sure, but we were fighting. We were really just yelling at each other. And I remember I yelled at him and I told him, I hate you, and I slammed my door. Now, what scared me at this point is the door stayed in that door jam. It didn't pop back open like it usually did. Like I said, there wasn't a handle. There's no knob. There's just a hole where that handle should be. So immediately, my 9-year-old self starts freaking out about this door being stuck there. The door used to swing into my room. So my brother is, you know, now he's kind of getting scared because I'm scared and yelling about this door. We're both trying to get this door open, and it's not opening, it's not opening. So he goes downstairs and gets my mom, who comes up and starts, you know, yelling at us about messing with the door. And we're telling her, we didn't do this. Door stuck. So this entire time, I'm sitting on my bed in my room crying because I'm so scared about this door. Finally, after my mom is kicking the door, trying to get it open, and she tries for a few minutes, she says that she's going to crawl through the crawl space in the attic to get into my room. And then she'd bring me back out that way. Well, just before she does that, she tells us that we have to apologize to each other. We have to apologize and say we're sorry that, you know, we shouldn't have been fighting in the first place, and this is probably why this happened. As soon as we apologized, that door swung open. I was able to walk right through. Of course, I'm freaked out about this door. My brother's freaked out. My mom's telling me that she doesn't know what happened, that for some reason the door shouldn't have stayed like that. It was like a validation for me because I had been hearing things and experiencing things in this house. We lived there for about 3 years, and the entire time that we lived there, we had experiences. They were never bad experiences. It was more like a motherly type. It was always just, you know, things were moving. If my brother and I were acting up, something would catch our attention and just kind of make us realize that somebody was watching over us, that we needed to just stop fighting or we needed to be nice to each other. It was never a negative feeling. But I do have a lot of experiences from that house. That's just one of the first ones that happened. So I figured I'd call in and let you know that. I'll continue to call in with my additional experiences throughout my life. I've lived in about 3 different homes and had experiences in all of them. My current home is an old farmhouse that was built in the 1900s, early 1900s. So I have some experiences there as well. I'll give you guys a call back, and thank you for putting on the show. It is a great show. I love listening to it at work. Have a great day.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your story with us. How interesting. A ghost that almost just wanted some resolution there.
Yeah, and there's no reason that door should have stuck like that. There was something going on. Because there was no doorknob even in the door.
You think there's ghosts out there that just simply they're just trying to make people get along? They got so frustrated in life with seeing it, and now they're just out there just kind of on a mission to do good, if you will.
I think they literally just want to rest in peace.
Yeah.
And seriously.
They want other people to be in peace too.
They just want people to stop fighting.
Yeah.
Be quiet.
Interesting story. Thank you for calling in. And sharing that with us, Lauren. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. You can also write in through the website at Real Ghost Stories Online. And hey, press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. So many ways to get the show now. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify. There's lots of platforms that you can find Real Ghost Stories Online and stream the show through now. So pick your platform of choice, press subscribe, and get the show sent directly to you. Jessica writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Love your show. Really helps make the workday go by quickly. Although, to be honest, sometimes some of the stories scare me and I sleep with my light on at home to avoid nightmares. Perhaps this is because I've had my own experiences and it brings back those memories. Anyway, I'll start by saying that I am an twin. Growing up, it was my twin that always saw things in our old Victorian house. She saw a man in my parents' room, which to this day, 23 years later, if you asked her to describe him, she'd be able to in perfect detail. She would also see what she called gremlins. They would come out of the closet and peek over the bedside. Again, I never saw anything but experienced the fear through her. Twin thing, I guess. Moving forward, things have kind of flip-flopped, and I am now the one that sees things, and she doesn't so much anymore. My first ghost story that I saw was my grandpa just after he passed away. Totally comforting, not scary at all. Just grandpa being grandpa and hanging around a while longer. My next experience was not the most pleasant. I moved into a two-bedroom apartment in Pennsylvania near where I worked. Nothing happened right away except for an awful smell that was always present. It's hard to describe, kind of moldy, kind of stale smelling, but very awful, and it permeated everything. I let the landlords know, and my dad's suggestion, I rented an ozone machine, which is used to take the smoke smell out of fire-damaged houses. I left that thing in for an entire weekend, and it did absolutely nothing. No way. For my dad or for me, who know how powerful these things are, to explain why it didn't work. I tried having it in one more weekend, at which point the landlords told me there wasn't anything else they could do, so that's the beginning. Do other people experience smells that won't go away? Just curious if you guys have heard other stories like this. Hope this doesn't get too long or boring, because this is where stuff starts to get freaky. A couple months after moving in, I started seeing a black shadowy man. Gives me chills and makes me tear up just writing this story. When I slept in my room and forgot to leave a light on, he would stand in my doorway and stare at me. I couldn't make out any features, just a man with a dark, long coat and a hat, kind of a fedora, I guess. Sometimes throwing the blanket over my head would work. Most times I'd hide under the blanket and pray. If I ever did get the courage to peek out, most times he would be gone. After seeing him multiple times, I just couldn't get a good night's sleep in my room anymore, so I started sleeping in my living room on a futon. I tried to remember to leave the TV or light on, but again, some nights I would forget. In the living room, when we would come, he would be standing over me, bent at the hips, not reaching for me, just kind of standing there, looming over me. To say this freaked me out was an understatement. I knew I couldn't handle this much longer, so I put my name on a list to move into a new apartment. I can't tell you how many times I saw him. It creeped me out, but I'm glad he never tried to touch me or talk to me. Pretty sure I would have never stepped foot back in there again. I ended up getting a new apartment diagonally across the hall from my old one, pretty much 10 steps away from my old one. I washed all my clothes and happily moved across the hall. No smell, no man in black ever showed up again. I saw at least two other families move in and out of that apartment in under a year, so I was always curious if they had experienced anything. Kind of wished I would have asked one of them. That's my story. Hope to hear you. Read it on the air. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for all of you guys' sense of humor. I appreciate it. It makes your podcast very enjoyable to listen to. I hope to become an EPP soon. Thanks again. Hope that wasn't too long.
I would think if the smell were something just due to the building, that it would kind of be throughout the entire building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a building a certain age just starts to get that kind of musty old smell.
Sure.
But none of the other rooms smell, or as far as we know, none of them smelled.
And yeah.
10 feet away, the other room didn't smell.
Smells are a very difficult thing to get over. I mean, it's one thing like the musty old smell. I've dealt with that in apartments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can, it's funny because I'll be like at a certain place somewhere in the city or this or that. And like, oh, that brings me back to that one apartment I lived in.
Uh-huh.
And, and the halls were usually the places that had the smells more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's in your actual living space and you can't get it out, I mean, it's one thing if it's just kind of a light odor that you'll eventually kind of get used to. There's just some smells, though, that are, there's just no getting over.
No. And if it keeps going and even an ozone machine won't get rid of it, something is actively causing that smell.
Yeah, because it's not being able to be sucked out of fabrics or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So it makes you wonder what is causing that smell. Paranormal or not, I don't know, but seeing a shadow man definitely is.
Yeah, very, very much so. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us. Selena writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. When my husband and I were dating, we decided to move in together before getting engaged. We wanted to see what it would be like to actually live together. When I told my parents about our plans, they asked if we wanted to rent a basement apartment from them. My sister was moving out, and they said they would give us a break on the rent since I was still in college. We jumped at the offer, considering the rent in Chicago was pretty expensive and I was paying for a private school. The basement apartment was a studio with two open living areas, a kitchen, and a small bathroom. The apartment was shaped like a J. There was a pass-through window over the kitchen sink that looked into what our living room or bedroom would be. We slept on a pull-out couch. We had been living there for a couple of months when I started having nightmares. Every night I would dream we had a couple of friends over. I was standing at the kitchen sink washing dishes and talking to our guests through the pass-through window. I asked my boyfriend a question. He was standing in the middle of the room with his head down and didn't respond. I called him a few more times and there was no response. I finally called him and snapped my fingers at him, and he slowly lifted his head. His eyes were glowing red and he started speaking in what I think was Latin. I'd wake up at that point, and it was always 3:23 a.m. every day for over 2 months. I'd have the same dream and wake up at the same time. 2 months into the dreams, I started feeling cold spots in the apartment. There was a corner in our bedroom or living room that seemed to radiate an energy. And I was scared. I felt like there was someone watching us. Then footprints appeared on our white vinyl tile floor. They looked like they were coming from the bathroom to the living room. I'd scrub the tiles clean, and 20 minutes later, the prints would return. My dad and I even replaced the tile, and it continued to happen. Around that time, we got a dog. She'd go to the doorway between the kitchen and living room and just bark at nothing I could see. Then water started appearing in the walkway along with the prints. I finally told a friend, and she told me to bless the apartment. We did it, and things subsided for a few weeks. Even the footprints went away. Then one night, I had the nightmare, and it all started again. We had an open cabinet along the walkway in the kitchen where we kept our dishes and glasses. It's going towards the bottom when a glass came off the shelf right in front of me and hung in the air. So being held, then it crashed to the ground. I grabbed my bag and the dog and left. I wouldn't go back until my boyfriend came home. We had the apartment blessed again and put blessed crosses around the apartment, and it stopped completely. I don't think what was in the apartment was just one of the ghosts in the house itself. When my sister lived in the apartment with her daughter, I knew there was something there because my niece would follow something with her eyes and talk to nobody. Her toys would start going off by themselves too. She had a Barney and the purple dinosaur doll that would sing, and it would always go off even if no one would be near it. I wasn't afraid of whatever it was. We figured maybe it was family watching over my niece, but I was very scared of whatever was haunting us. We did know someone who was messing around with some dark things, and she told me she was doing incantations. I don't think she knew what she was doing, which is always dangerous. And I do believe that she was jealous of the relationship I was in, as hers was not going well. I think she may have directed negative energy our way and something followed it. Sorry this was so long. I really enjoy your show, and the EPP episodes have been great. Anyone who's thinking of becoming an EPP, do it. It's worth it. Take care, Selena.
You know, when a kid sees something and they're talking at it and their eyes are following it, it's, I don't know, for some reason, to me, I put more stock into that than just somebody's like, I think I saw something, but I'm not sure.
Well, and you can put more stock into it by the way the child is acting if they're not necessarily making a big deal out of it. Mm-hmm. It's just their eyes are following it. And then you actively ask them what's going on. Oh, I'm watching that person over there. They're not like, hey, I see ghosts too. And, you know, it's not like they're adding it into a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just you actually have to kind of pry it out of them. That's something that they're seeing and experiencing.
And I think it's, to me, younger kids.
Sure.
The younger the kid and they see something, the more that I put stock into it. So yeah. It makes me think that there was something in that apartment before she even moved in.
Yeah, I agree. And is it good? Is it bad? It's really hard to tell based on the story. It's disturbing to hear that you keep getting the same footprints over and over.
And that it's taking glasses and just holding them and then dropping them.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean demonic. It could just mean ornery.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... certainly going on there. Yeah. And probably time, you know, I guess maybe to pay more in rent and get out of there.
Yeah. I don't know. Creepy basement apartment.
I tried for a little while. See how long I could deal with it.
You would?
How long would you deal with it?
What? I don't know. For whatever reason, a basement apartment, I don't think I could handle.
You have basically a rent-controlled apartment in a major city, which can be very expensive. And, you know, nice, comfortable apartment, if you will, except for the ghost. How long could you put up with it if that's all it was doing? Not anything demonic, just dropping glasses every now and then.
I don't know.
At its worst.
I really don't know.
You have to be in the situation to really...
Yeah.
You know, I sit here and I say I could put up with it for a while. I'd probably be gone the next day.
You're a big talk. I don't think you'd be
in all reality, be
dealing
like,
with
it. I'm out. I'll be at the Holiday Inn up there in Gurnee Mills. I'll see you over there. 855-853-4802 is the phone number. Anne writes in, hi.
Hi. I thought I'd call back with an actual story. This is Anne in St. Paul. And I'm calling, I grew up in a really next to a portal type of thing. And so there was things all the time everywhere. Well, this is just a quick story, and actually it's kind of comical. It wasn't at the time, but when you look back, it was kind of comical. Me and my best friend, we were about 14, 15. We had been at my house for a few days. Nobody was home, just us. And we were upstairs a lot in my room, and we'd go downstairs time to time, get something to eat or go out to, you know, whatever. But, you know, my room was situated upstairs where I could see the whole yard, the whole driveway, the main door. You know, we always would know if somebody was around. There was nobody around for days. So one day, one afternoon, we went downstairs to get something to eat, and we were down there, and we heard someone walking around upstairs. Now, there's five rooms up there. These really heavy, sounded like a heavy man walking just straight across the upstairs. You can't do that. It's not possible. And these footprints were going from one end to the other, and it's just like, that can't happen. And it sounded like they were moving things and et cetera. And we were like, doesn't it sound like there's someone up there? And Julie and my friend's like, yeah. And I'm like, let's get out. So we got out of the house because we were convinced someone was up there. We didn't for the life of us know how they could have got up there, but without us knowing, but we could clearly hear them up there, very clearly. So we're outside, and it just so happened my cousin and one of our friends come driving by, and we flagged them down there, a few years older than us, a couple of guys. And we asked them to come up and check the house out that we heard someone upstairs, a heavy, you know, footfalls like a man. And so the four of us went into the house, and we went upstairs. Now, again, there was five rooms and four of us. So we each picked a room. I went into my sister's room, which was right at the top of the stairs to the right. No one went into my room, which was on the left of the stairs. But they went into all the other rooms. I went into my sister's room. She had recently moved out, so there was just a bed, an empty dresser, and an empty closet in there. I actually looked under the bed. I looked behind the dresser, which was up against the wall, but I looked there anyway. I looked in the drawers. I looked in the closet. There was no one in that room. So I come walking out of the room, and my best friend and one of the guys was standing there. And I go, well, there's nothing in there. And all of a sudden, the door to the room that I was just in slams violently shut. And we all jump and turn around, and then somebody starts banging on it so hard that the door was literally bending. It was just a cheap door anyway, but it was literally bending with this thing, just violent banging. And we all jumped and we're looking and we go, oh, it's got to be Doug. And all of a sudden Doug walks up behind us from inside one of the other rooms and says, what was that? And we turned around and looked at him, and we looked at each other, and we just all screamed. And the four of us all ran down those stairs at the same time. How we did that without running over each other, I don't know. That's the comical part. I would have loved to have seen our faces and watched our exit. And so we ran outside, and the guys went back in to check the house while Julie and I watched the outside of the house to make sure no one came out. There was no one in there. And that's my story. Thank you. You guys are great. Bye.
I think if I'd gone through that, I would not be able to be in a house alone ever again. Ever.
Would it cause serious psychological damage?
Is that what you're saying, essentially? Yes.
You won't just be calling into a ghost show going, oh, it's a goofy time.
No, she's gotten over that pretty well. I think I would be scarred for life.
That is a pretty disturbing situation to go through. I agree. I think most people would be, pretty messed up after going through something like that. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's a good example of just, the experiences that people have that call into the show, that I think we have a lot of listeners who just seek out the show to find solitude and find similarity in their own lives of things that they've experienced that are unexplained. They have no idea what the hell happened, and they're afraid to talk about it with people, because most people are like, you believe in ghosts, even though they really believe in them too. But just to hear someone else go through something like that, and then also kind of be like, they were able to move on from it too.
Yeah.
And almost kind of like, I can move on from it too somewhat, Now you're not going to forget anything like that, but you can still continue on with your life.
Yeah. Even find the humor in the situation.
You almost have to. And some, because what are you going to do?
Right.
It's such a, just troubling, bizarre experience. Thank you for calling that in. 855-853-4802. One more call before we wrap up the show for tonight. Hi.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. This is Alma. I am actually just calling you to let you know about, I'm listening to your EPP number 39 and all late. But I wanted to let you know that when it comes to, I had a friend that went to medical school, so when it comes to cadavers, they actually are not put into formaldehyde. It's actually fresh cadavers are used. They don't have a smell, but actually in the last couple of years, they've come very close to doing away with human cadavers, like human beings. They actually want to make them as like computer programs. So they want to actually have people start learning about the human body by actually looking at 3D and computer simulations of a human body. So that question may not be actually feasible in the next couple of years using real cadavers, because they may not actually be using them anymore. I think a lot of this is answered in that book, Stiff, by Mary Roach. She talks about cadavers and dissections and what different things people who donate their body to science, their bodies go through. So you'll find that very insightful. But in regards to that, yeah, it's not using formaldehyde. And majority of them are actually older people, because they actually are the ones who usually tend to donate their bodies to science. So actually, I hate to say it, but the grand prize in a anatomy lab is to have a younger body as part of your cadaver. All right. Thank you. Bye.
There's a happy thought.
I'm sorry, I don't want a doctor that just learned at medical school how to work on somebody through a computer program. I want them to have done a dissection at least once.
I completely agree. I mean, as much as I know I couldn't handle it because I'm me, there are people out there who can, and they're called medical students and doctors and people who they can do that stuff. And I want them to have the utmost training as they possibly can get. And that's why there's cadavers.
Well, and I think it's different when you're... I'm just guessing, okay? I don't know. But I'm thinking it would be different because you're actually working on a person versus a computer program. You know, knowing that this was a person that was alive in the recent past.
Sure.
And, I think there's an emotional level you have to be able to do that. And,
sure.
And if you just have practice on a computer program, you're not going to have that until it's time to work on somebody or, assist in a surgery, and you realize, oh, shit, that's a real person there.
Yeah.
They've got family waiting in the other room. I think there's a disconnect that would be made even greater.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion, very probably ignorant opinion, because I know very little about what medical students have to go through.
It puts a level of reality on it.
I think so.
I mean, it really does. And I think it's important that that still exists until we can get the 3D printers that can print up the human bodies, which I'm sure is really only a couple of years away.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see, we saw the 3D printers when we were in Atlanta last time.
Yes. I thought you were bullshitting me for the longest time because you tell me stuff all the time that's not real and I'll believe it.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, no, they didn't.
Was that really, you really didn't realize they were real until we were in Atlanta at the mall at the Microsoft store and they had them going?
I realized that before, but it wasn't too much before.
Okay. It was like when you saw them in the window and then we walked in. Oh, they're here.
Yeah. Somebody else I knew was either playing with one or was talking about getting one. And then I was like, oh, that's a real thing. Okay.
It was the first time I actually saw one up close and personal in action was in that mall in Atlanta when we went to Savannah a while back. And it was just, it was amazing. I mean, it was neat. I mean, essentially, you can build a lot of shitty plastic trinkets with it as far as the, if you're looking to build a little boat for your children to play with in the tub, that's a great $400 piece of machinery to build it with. But, you know, the bigger, more industrial ones can build a lot more in-depth things. However, they're not really consumer-grade models. The consumer-grade models can build a wonderful vase out of plastic. But some of the other ones, they can build basically almost anything.
Sure.
I mean, it's amazing what they can do. So I'm wondering if that will be something that could be applicable in the medical sciences field of creating somewhat lifelike. I don't know. I know a lot of them use plastic and such. I don't know what material you would use to simulate human bodies.
I don't know.
In a printing situation. But I'm sure they can figure that out.
I don't know. I just want to pay whatever fee it would be to print your own Legos. I would be so awesome with that.
You can do that. I'm sure. But however, it's probably more expensive using a 3D printer than just buying the Legos. And Legos are not cheap.
Just imagine, though, you could print your own Legos.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That would be absolutely amazing. An interesting thing, and just to reference back to when they were talking about the EPP episode, we had talked to someone who had a paranormal experience with a cadaver and what was going on with them psychologically and physically when dealing with that situation. And it was haunting. It was one of those things where I've always wondered, that ever, create paranormal things? Well, in this case, it certainly did.
It did.
And that's, you can hear that full story on EPP bonus episode number 39. You'll get that when you sign up to be an EPP on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Very, very interesting story and well worth signing up to hear it. So check that out at realghoststoriesonline.com. Be an EPP and help keep our show on the air. All right, that wraps up today's episode. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.